Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of the one source, child of light, divine. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me, and it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Great joy of vibration, most joyous, the musical rendition, most wonderful to pick up the spirits of everyone and to allow everyone to feel their own light. It is my great joy to walk amongst you in this way, to reach out, to be able to feel the most wonderful miracle. Have you ever thought of the miracle of one strand of hair? How you allow the growth of the hair and the curl. Do you curl this? This is most wonderful hair, naturally curly. The girls would love to have this. Most wonderful. And the coloration of the hair, how it changes, sometimes over the years a wee bit, and sometimes with a bit of help from the, quote, professionals. It is my great pleasure to be able to be amongst you in this way. I spoke of this in the last evening, that truly to be able to look out with the 3D eyes and to behold you as you behold yourself in the looking glass, to be able to see your aura, to be able to see the light that you are, the light that surrounds you and truly is unimpeded by any definition, because the light that you are goes on forever. It blends with everyone else's light into one most miraculous light. Last evening, we spoke of the peace, finding the peace within, being able to know that truly you carry the peace with you wherever and into any situation where you go. The peace is you. It is your divine self. It cannot be taken away. It is always you, as the extension and expression coming forth from the one divine source. Sometimes you can put the sunshades upon the eyes and you say, I don't see any light. Everything is dark. Sometimes you go through a time that seems very sad, very dark. But in truth, your light is forever shining. It is forever beaming. It is forever the energy of divine source. And it does not cease. Even when you decease the body, your light ascends. Always your light surrounds your creation, whatever form you have taken. In this expression, you have what is called the human body. And I knew the human body very well. But in other dimensions, other realities, lowercase r, you were very much in form, but a different type of form than what you know to be human. You are very, as a divine extension, very adaptable. You make for yourself rather wonderful creations, and you come to inhabit the creations. You have much thinking now, talk, expansion of thought into the space brothers, into ones who would be perhaps making visitation here, and it is true that they are. You have much thought, wonderment about the designs that they are leaving upon the land, wondering what do these designs mean, and you will have a certain depiction of them later on in this week, where you will have one of the brothers will be talking about what he has seen and what has been photographed so that you can study. It is truly a language. It is truly a message that will be at some point decoded and understood. But it will come about by intuitive thinking, because there is already now some intuition of what the messages might be. And this will be enlarged upon as time goes on, because, well, you have a saying in your world, inquiring minds want to know. And so the inquiring minds are going to be puzzled and yet are going to come to a place of the intuitive knowing, where the designs that are made sometimes will turn up in different places. And there is similarity sometimes, so that there can be a decoding that will be coming about. You have ones who are shifting into a place of oneness thinking, not being conformed to this world, but going beyond the usual teaching, who are now coming to a place of understanding the basic underlying message. And the underlying message is one of love. It is one of peace. It is one of oneness in truth, of reaching out and offering friendship. They are not coming and making these designs in order to destroy the crops. That has been put forward as an explanation, but it is not the truth. They are truly trying to, in their own way, do the handwriting on the wall or on the crops that are made. And they are not destroying the crops. They are allowing some of the flexibility of the crops to come back to what they were before the symbolism was made. So they are not destructive, and they do come in peace. And there are ones who will be decoding what has been written there. All that you can imagine about the expression of the divine energy, divine source, is true. Everything that you can imagine, and much more, you are bringing or have brought forth. And there will be much more that in your linear time you will be seeing, beholding, puzzling about. Because you have asked, you have said, I know that I am not just here alone. I see brothers and sisters who are activating the bodies, but there has to be more than that. And as you were opening the shutters of the mind, more information comes to you. As you have the questioning mind, and you do, then you are going to have more information put forward. And you will do what you do with information that comes to you in the book form, the newspaper form, whatever, on your computer screen. You will use your own intelligence to decipher what resonates with you. And if it does not, do not spend time worrying about it. Take what appears to you, what seems to be a message for you, and if nothing comes, get up about your business and do what you need to do. Because in time, there will be clarity about it. Your peace, as we spoke last evening, is your gift to yourself. It is within you at all times. It takes only the willingness to accept it. The willingness to say, okay, I'll try being at peace for maybe 5 minutes out of this day. I will spend 5 minutes. I'm worth 5 minutes. Well, maybe I'm worth a little more than that. And yes, I do have obligations as I feel them to be, that I need to be attending to, but I can also gift myself with peace. And as you get into the habit of feeling the peace within, you will find that you are able to take care of the worldly business much more easily. You will not be what you call spinning the wheels as much, because there will be a sense of purpose that has come to you during the quiet time, during the time that you are spending in peace, so that it is preparation, the peace that you feel, preparation for whatever has to be done in the day. Try it. You may like it. In fact, I know that you will. Once have said to me, well, I thought perhaps 5 minutes was going to be a long time and I wouldn't be able to do this. And you know what, Joshua? I tried it. And then I looked at the clock and a half an hour had gone by. And it felt so good, I sat there for another 5 minutes. You will find that you enjoy the peaceful, quiet time of meditation. The peaceful, quiet time where you say to the world, I will come to you later. Right now, I am doing for myself the gift of peace. And as I have said, once you come from that place, the rest of the pieces will fall into place much more easily. Now, I have had a request from my earthly father, the one you know as Joseph, to speak with you in this evening. So he will come, he will speak, and after he is finished, then I will come back and speak more with you. Meantime, he desires to speak with you. So I will allow him the stage, the floor, to speak. Beloved ones, peace be with you. Thank you for the ancient greeting. It is a very good greeting because it truly allows you to feel the peace that my son has been talking to you about. For as you feel the greeting to you and then you return it, during that time, you are in peace. You are in that place that feels peaceful, loving, extending love in the words and in the inner consciousness that comes forth. I asked to be able to speak with you this evening because a dear friend that you have known in this lifetime has come to us, has let go of the tattered and torn body that he so willingly kept going for quite a length of time in this lifetime. This one is a master. This one came into the corporeal being to take on a body, to walk amongst you, to suffer the slings and arrows of the world, to have the ups and downs of the relationships, and to be able to write about them. He has written several books for you that he leaves behind for you to read of his journey and his reminiscences about the journey. He has been a friend that I have traveled with 2,000 years ago. He helped me with the carving of the temple doors. This one, this friend that you know, he was in this lifetime a builder. He built several of the domiciles that he lived in. He knew how to fashion wood into the tables, into furniture, into the useful objects. He knew how to fell the trees and to pick out the very tree that would be the mainstay of the house that he was building. He purchased land that had trees upon it, and he spoke to the trees, the same as we did 2,000 years ago, and asked of the trees which ones wanted to be in the edifice, the home that he was building, which ones would be strong enough to support the roof and to withstand the storms. And the trees answered him, as he knew they would, and he was able to clear the land by a stream and to build a most loving house for himself and his mate. He knew how to work with his hands. He remembered from 2,000 years ago how to do certain, what you call now, planing to make smooth the different wood and to join the wood together in certain way. He remembered deep in his memory the carving that we did together. And he knew how to communicate with the wood at every stage. Now, if you were to have asked him, he would have said, well, I just know. Because there was an intuitive oneness, knowing oneness with the wood, that he could look upon any wood and see, first of all, if it was happy. Is this wood happy? It is truly. It is happy. It has had many loving backs sitting upon it. A bit of the padding here, yes, making it softer. Every piece of wood can be traced back to the tree that was selected to be fashioned into something that you would want to use. And that is the first start. I see another shaping here. Have to investigate. Now you see we have this, has certain sturdiness about it. This has more of the fashion. And what we would do, we would ask of the wood, how do you want to be fashioned? How do you want to see yourself as a useful piece? I was and made my living as a carpenter. I taught this to my son, the one that you know as Yeshua. This one has had some sorrow. Someone has sat in this chair with the hands here and was holding back the tears. But the tree does not mind. The tree knows that it is one with all life, and it serves a most wonderful purpose so that you can put the bodies on it, and you do not have to worry about whether you're going to be on the floor or not. When you are younger, you are sitting cross-legged on a mat, perhaps. When you get a bit taller, some of the joints want to do something different. And that is good, is it not? Because you are flexible. No matter what form of body you are inhabiting, you are walking around, and the body serves you well.
Plastic.
It is what you call a man-made wood.
Plastic.
It is called plastic, okay? Yes? Let's see vibration. Well, it does have vibration. Amazing. Not quite so much, though. Not bad. Not bad. Not quite alive, though. Aha. There is wood. This wood is happy. This wood has gone several places and absorbed much of vibration. Have you taken this on travels?
Yes, with you.
Oh, well, of course.
And I made it. So of course it's happy.
So of course it's happy. Very good. You put your love into it. Ah, that is a good secret, which is not a secret. Because when you fashion anything, you put your love and your intention into it. You know that when you are playing an instrument that has a bit of wood, I'm not sure what it is nowadays that ones make the various instruments out of, but the ones that have wood, they have a certain ambiance of themselves that you can feel. You sit with it, and there is a knowing that comes. You can feel a certain vibration with it. And that is why you can go into, it was the same in my day and time, into a shop with various ones, and you may pick up one and it speaks to you, or you pick up another one and it doesn't speak, and there is a feeling of symbiosis that happens, a knowing of oneness. The vibration is in harmony. And you know yourself that if you pick up an instrument to play and you do not have that oneness vibration, the ones listening to you are going to do this. They're going to put the fingers in the ears and say, no, I do not want to hear that. Or in this day and time, you have the big ones that go over the ears and cover the whole ear. You don't have to do just the ear canal. Most wonderful technology. Yes, this is a most wonderful meeting room because you have much of living wood. Ah, oh, happy wood in here. There have been parties in here where there has been singing, where there has been joy. And the wood has absorbed some of that happiness. But I digress, as my son does from time to time. I was speaking of the one who has come into our presence as of today, early this morning in your timing. One who was a friend and still is a friend. One who has known many lifetimes because he has agreed that he would come and walk amongst you to discover the meaning of life once again. That is one of the reasons that you come and you take physical form. You say that you want to discover the meaning of life. Why am I here? Why did I select such a body? Why did I come through the parents that I came with? And then sometimes if you have been birthed in another country, you have a calling, a feeling that you want to go to another land. And so you do. We did this 2,000 years ago on the ships that would go over the sea quite a ways. And we would fashion the ships with wood. And we would ask of the wood, what part of the ship do you want to go in? And the wood, as you have seen with the wooden ships, can be molded and shaped with some implements, yes, but more than that, the early ones were shaped by being in the water and being shaped by hand so that they would take certain form. And in that shaping, there was a gift to the wood because you were making new form, and there was a gift to the maker who was working with the wood of knowing that all energy comes from the same source, and there is no separation. And so the ones who worked most closely with wood were ones who knew the feeling of wood and the life of wood. I have spoken in other times about the life of a tree and how a tree does not know how to die. A tree does not start out as a small seedling and worry, how tall am I going to grow? Am I going to have enough sunlight? Am I going to have enough soil and water to grow? It just grows. It does not worry about what is going to happen to me when I get to the heavens. It just keeps growing. It does not worry about how many years it's going to have. It just keeps living. And then someone comes and says to the tree, would you be willing? Now, this doesn't happen as much in this day and time. But in the day and time 2,000 years ago, we would ask of the tree, are you willing to be part of something new? Because you see, this wood, even though you would say, well, it has been chopped down and it's dead, it is not dead. It is energy and always will be energy in one form or another. Same as you. You are energy in one form. And when you get tired of a certain form, you leave it behind like the caterpillar does and you go on to a new form. You leave it behind and move on. This wood is not dead. That is why when you will, I suggest to you after the meeting that you have here that you go up to, I'm not supposed to do this. You go up to the wood and you put your hand upon it and you get yourself quiet into that place of peace within and you see what it will tell you. Because it will tell you. If you really get into it, it will tell you where it has come from. And it may not be what you call the local wood. It may have come from somewhere far away. It will tell you if you listen. And if you get nothing on the first try, try again. Exactly. If you really want to know, if you really want to know oneness, work with the wood. This one who has deceased the body and moved on knew the secret of wood. He knew it from 2,000 years ago. And he knew it in this lifetime that has just passed. He enjoyed working with his hands, working with the wood, shaping it in different forms. He made several tables. He made the shelving for books. He made the desk that he would work at. He made the house that he would live in. Two of them, actually. Because he loved wood, and he remembered at a very deep level how to work with wood. He is now quite happy because he is free of the encumbrance of body. In the last few weeks, years perhaps, it was a bit of an encumbrance, something that he had to take care of and had to have various parts removed. It was not pleasant. And he feels very free now, because he is. And he would tell you that. He would say to you now how free he feels. And he blesses all of you from the space of what you call heaven, the space of oneness. He has told me already that he intends to return at some point and to live with brothers and sisters, human, again. But he is not in a big hurry. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you about the essence of wood, the essence of life. It has always been a love of mine and will continue to be. So be it. Thank you, beloved ones, for allowing my father to speak with you. He enjoys, as he has joked many times, he enjoys getting out. He enjoys being able to share with you a perspective that you have known, but sometimes gets forgotten in the hustle and bustle of all of the life, every day, what has to be attended to. He lives in a very peaceful state. In my lifetime of growing up with him and with my mother, I will tell you about my mother. She was a very good Jewish mother. And she made sure that we were brought up in the way of the Jewish learning. But she was also raised in the Essene community so that there was equality between man and woman. And she studied the same as the boys who came to the Essene community studied. She knew how to read the manuscripts and how to copy them, the same as the young men. So that when I was of a certain age, she took me to the Essene community and I studied. She was very intuitive. She was very learned because she had read and copied the manuscripts of the mystics, of the ones that were of the ancient times. And there was in it what you would now call the Jewish heritage, lineage. But there was much more in the Essene community because they did not just stop with what was at that day and time just the teaching of the Jewish traditions. But we had those, and I was taught to revere the traditions. And I was taught to mind my manners, and if I did not, I was brought into a certain state of consciousness of remembering. She was, as I have said, a very good Jewish mother, in the best sense of the word. She will be speaking with you later on this week. I believe she wants to speak. So that will be some other evening of this week. When I was a young lad, if I got into a state, and there were times when I wanted to know the human boundaries of human self and emotions. Yes, I did know emotions. Yes, I did know human life. How else could I be rabbi and to talk with you if I did not know what you had been experiencing? So I chose for myself a human incarnation to live the same as you do and to come to a place of peace within myself that was accepting of the Father's will. Now, the Father's will is not something that is difficult or harsh. The Father's will is always for love. No matter what you have done, you are the only one who truly holds judgment against self. No matter what you have done, the Father does not see you as having made any mistake. You have made choices, and you have lived with the consequences of the choices. And sometimes you have not liked the consequences, but you have had the freedom to make those choices, and to choose anew if you did not like the first choice. That is what you have built in to this life. So I knew human emotion. You have in your holy writings a very short sentence. It is often quoted because it is the shortest, where I looked upon Jerusalem. And I wept. I wept because I knew the brothers and sisters were not happy. I knew that there were many strict rules that were not loving. I knew that life could be much more loving and much more comfortable in the oneness of love. But the ego was very strong, as it has maintained throughout many ages, of saying that you have to be right. And so you have to prove yourself right, and you have to prove yourself safe. because there is fear. Born from the soil of separation. Once you know oneness with your divine source, you do not have fear. But when you feel yourself separate, and this has been generational teaching for a long time, when you feel yourself separate from love, then fear and ego runs in quickly and says, you have to do something. The one thing you have to do, or the one thing that is advised, is that you stop. That you stop and you take that deep breath, you go to the place of peace within, and you begin humming a peaceful song. It works miracles. I know. If I got myself into a human emotion that was not peaceful, I was told to go and sit by flowing water and to contemplate the energy of water, to watch how it does not fight. If it comes to an obstacle, it goes around one way or the other. If it can, it goes up and over. It finds a way peacefully to keep on going. And if it cannot, it stops. And it does not rail against what has stopped it. It just stops for the time being. Now there is a bit of wood back there that is needing a bit of oil. It speaks. Very good. I would go. There were times when I was envious of my cousin, John, known as the Baptist. He was older than I by about 9 months, almost a year. And he was of different physique. He was strong, taller, and more what you call sturdy. He could run faster because I was almost a year younger. He could climb a tree faster. He could jump into the deep water, and I wasn't quite so sure because I wasn't as tall as he. So I did what you often will do. I envied him, and I judged myself as not being quite good enough. So I went to my father, Joseph, who has just spoken with you, and I said, and I used a few words that I probably shouldn't. And my father said to me, Yeshua, go and sit by flowing water. So I did. And I often wondered, was it just because they wanted to get rid of me for a while? But it worked miracles. Because to sit by flowing water and to become one with the energy of the water, it works miracles. Whenever you are feeling at sixes and sevens or at odds with whatever the ego is presenting to you, find yourself some flowing water. Make for yourself in your dwelling place or near your dwelling place flowing water. Doesn't have to be a whole lot, but put for yourself even the smallest fountain of water. And commune with the water. You know the goodness of water, how when you are parched and you are thirsty, you take some water. And it is life-giving. There are times when you have traveled the desert, when you would have given everything for a cup of water. Pardon. Beloved ones, you have sat long enough on the rears. There is a bit of the sleepiness in the rear. I would say let us take a 10-minute break, and then we will come back and speak more. So be it. What to do with you? what is called the meditation. So allow yourselves to be comfortable on the chair. And then taking a deep breath, feel the peace that comes in with the breath. Taking another easy breath, feel yourself centered in the heart. And feel your light radiate out from that heart center, radiating as far as you can imagine it to go. Taking another easy breath, feel yourself glowing with the energy of the Christ Spirit. Know that truly you are glowing at every moment, but sometimes you do not pay attention to it. Know that you are a radiant, loving being. And you have agreed that you will spread your light everywhere you go. Take another deep breath. And as you do so, visualize a green meadow. Feel yourself walking in the meadow. Feel the grass coming up to the knees. Feel the lush green foliage of the grass. Look around and see the bushes that grow by the side of the path. Feel the vibrancy of the grass. And very soon you come to a small hill, an easy hill, and you walk to the top of the hill. And from the top of the hill, you can survey much of the meadow. You can see the butterflies. You can see the birds being very busy. Off in the distance, you can see a rabbit. Off in the distance, you can see some trees. And in the trees, you can see more of the birds. You turn and you look to see what is beyond the hill that you stand on. And there is in the distance another hill, slightly higher. And you walk towards this hill, taking in all of the green around you, the blue sky above you, and the white clouds in the sky. You watch the trees that ring the meadow and see how they are swaying in the wind that is gently blowing. They are moving in a very gentle dance. They are doing this just for you. You climb to the top of the second hill and you survey everything of the valley below. You feel a deep peace, nothing to worry about, only to breathe in the sunlight and the gentle breeze of the air. You feel yourself to be as free as the birds that fly from one branch to another. You feel energized in an easy way. You have come to the hilltop with a thought in mind, something that you have been pondering. Something that seemed, when you were back at the dwelling place, to be quite big and heavy, a burden, wondering how you were going to do everything in a short time. And you felt weighted down. But now, on the hillside, surveying the green grass and the trees and the butterflies, breathing in the gentle air, everything seems to have expanded in ease and in easiness. And you look at what seemed to be the problem. And you take another easy breath. And you see that truly, there is a way to solve this. You feel a deep peace within you, and you know that within the peace, there lies your answer. You breathe again, and you survey all of the grass that is moving gently in the breeze. And with the movement of the grass, you feel that what you have been worrying about is becoming smaller, is becoming more simple. And an answer may come to you, a pathway to see your way through what seems to be a tangle of relationships or a tangle of circumstances. And you feel that truly there is a semblance of order. And you abide in that place of hope, that place of simplicity, trusting that you will know how to work your way through with ease and with wisdom, leaving none of the peace outside, but taking the peace within you. You sit there on the hilltop. You are breathing gently. You are visualizing what seemed to be a knotty problem, many knots, many twists and turns. And as you watch, the knot begins to unravel, and you see someone and a path to follow. You abide in that space of watching, a place of breathing, and abiding in just the quietness, trusting that the answer will come. And you find after a while that the sunlight is warm upon the head and the shoulders. And you feel a deep peace coming upon you and within you. And after a few moments, you find that the breathing is regular and easy, and you feel that the answer is in the breathing. It is in the peace. You do not have to unravel everything, and yet as you watch it, it begins to unravel the knot that it was in. And you see that truly there is a way where everyone can feel loved. Everyone can know their place. Everyone is feeling easy. And you abide in that space for what seems to be a long time. And after a while, there is a knowing that when you return to your dwelling place or to the place of the work, that which has seemed so heavy will no longer be so heavy. that which you are asking for. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you. If you are asking for peace, know that truly you have touched that space. And any time you want to return, you visualize the hillside, the top of the hill where you are sitting, and the vastness of the green grass below you. You breathe deeply of the fresh air. It is invigorating. It is strengthening. And you take to yourself that power, the power that comes with a deep peace. And when you are ready, you come down off of the hill and you return to where you have begun. You will take your time. You will look at the seeming struggle from all angles, and you will see the knot that was seeming so tightly tied, unraveling. You will know that always you are held in the love of the Father, Mother, God, Goddess, all that is. For truly you are the holy child going forward. And all blessing is yours. In that space of great peace, there is one who comes to sit next to you. In that place of great peace, there is one who is as a master that you have called forth. And you speak to this one of the problem as you saw it in the beginning. And you speak to this one as you see the problem unraveling. And you ask, what more do I need to know? And the one who loves you puts the arm around the shoulder and speaks into your ear the solution of love. Speaks into your ear the words of encouragement. Tells you that you are never alone and you are never lost. That truly you are the beloved child who has strayed a bit into the world and has gotten a bit caught in the travail of the world. But now you are free. Now you know that you are loved. And now you can breathe of the freedom of deep peace. And when you have sat with this one long enough, and it may be a long time or a short time, you will bid this one goodbye. But truly he goes nowhere away from you. Truly, she goes nowhere away from you. And when you are ready, you walk down the hill, pausing only to admire the buttercups, the daisies, and the grass that you walk through. For you know that every problem can be solved in the peace of being. Every seeming problem comes to you with a gift, the gift of peace, the peace that the world does not know, but the peace that you now know, the peace that comes with you always, because it is you, because it is your inner being, and you travel on with a smile on the face, with the warmth of the sun on the shoulders, and love in your heart. Allow yourself to abide in that love for as long as feels right. And when you are ready, allow yourself to bring the consciousness back to this room. But there is no hurry. The peace that you feel is your gift to yourself. The peace that you feel abides always within you. The peace that you feel is your divine nature, always and forever present within you. When you lay the head upon the pillow in this evening, take for yourself 3 deep breaths and visualize the hillside. Visualize the top of the hill. Visualize the Master speaking with you. And then sleep deeply. So be it. Now allow yourself to come fully back into the body. Stretch out the arms. Put them above the head. Reach for the heavens. Feel that truly you are alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. So be it. Thank you. Yes.